Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to advertise with us or send us questions to answer on the show, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls as well. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 Score. And Cody, the Bulls may have just had their best practice of the year.
Fred Hoiberg called it a good practice.
He did.
I believe he had asked a couple nights ago, after the Bulls' embarrassing loss on Friday night to the Bucks, in which Doug McDermott said it was embarrassing. Fred basically said it was embarrassing today. Fred had asked that they needed to come back with their best practice of the year. So he was half seriously, half rhetorically asked, was it the best practice of the year? And he said it was a good practice. The Bulls on a Sunday afternoon at the Advocate Center, yes, went for
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours and got back to the basics. Fred said, Doug McDermott said, it felt like the first day of training camp. And if I recall, the storyline in training camp was Fred was going really hard on the Bulls, right?
He's coaching them harder. Tomorrow's the one-year anniversary of Jimmy Butler telling reporters that Fred needs to coach them harder, and he is coaching them harder.
I can't wait for the oral history of Jimmy Butler telling Fred to coach harder.
I'm working on it.
Someone needs to come out with that.
I'll get on that.
Who in the media wants to step up.
But, I'll get on that.
I would love to read that. But, yeah, so, I mean, did you read into that, the kind of change of tone regarding this practice? The Bulls going for a long time. They usually don't practice for 2.5 hours in December. It's usually an hour and a half. Doug saying it felt like training camp again, where, like, for training camp, we talked for, like, 2 straight weeks about how hard Fred was pushing him. Like, that was that and Rajon Rondo's a great leader were, like, the two training camp stories, right?
Yeah, and also just, like, how few stories there were in training camp. There was such little drama in training camp, and now it's, like, you know, in the last couple of weeks, you know, you had the Rondo suspension, you had them blowing the lead to Thibodeau with that return, and then you had the stuff with Nico the other night, missing walkthrough. And for what it's worth, Fred said today that Nico is going to get another chance in the rotation. Doug might have actually let the cat out of the bag a little bit. He said that they put some stuff in that's going to let their other shooters get more opportunities. He even named Nico. I don't know if that means Nico's going to get back in the rotation tomorrow against Detroit, but
Doug's the one who usually lets the cat out of the bag, right?
I like Doug because he can't tell the lie. He's honest.
Exactly. But yeah, Fred was asked directly about that regarding Nico, and he said, we'll see, we'll see. And then he said, he basically didn't fully commit to him, but then on the other end of the spectrum, he did say he will definitely get another chance and opportunity to make the most of that chance. So I don't know if that comes against the Pistons or not. Like, they need Cristiano Felicio down low probably to bang bodies with Andre Drummond for a little bit, who you said earlier, what, is averaging about 14 rebounds per
13.8, I believe,
against the Bulls in his career. So mark Andre Drummond down for, what, 17 rebounds on Monday night at the United Center. But the Pistons are 14-15.
They just had a players-only meeting.
Themselves, yeah. They've lost 3 of 4, and it's not going
well. They
got
drilled by the Pacers last night, and the Pacers are not good.
In Detroit right now. So Marcus Morris, it sounds like, is leading players-only meetings for the Pistons. What do you think that means for Detroit basketball?
Oh, I mean, that's not great considering, you know, some of the stuff that Marcus Morris has had to, you know, deal with, like, off-court stuff. It's maybe not great that he's the one that's leading the players-only meetings.
But yeah, I haven't really seen the Pistons play much lately, but from what I've read, they've struggled since Reggie Jackson's return.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Assimilating him a little bit. What's going on there?
I'm not sure. I haven't really watched the Pistons that much either. I mean, they drilled the Bulls on the fourth game of the 4 games in 5 nights.
That's very true. But the Bulls, I mean, if they're going to get back to basics, I don't even know what that means for them exactly.
What Doug said today and what Fred also said today was that it means they need to get back to having fun, and they were having so much fun. Fred even used the word swagger early on, like, they were throwing lobs and they were all enjoying it, and now it's just been kind of a drag. That's something he said. That was actually the most introspective I've ever heard Fred.
You think?
Yeah, it was up there.
Why?
Because he was honest. He said, you know, that it used to be fun and it's not fun, and guys' body language was bad. That was the most I think he's ever called them out.
Yeah, and I guess that does make sense. Because on the podcast the other night on Friday, after they got waxed by the Bucks for a second time in two nights, we did, and I specifically, I mean, was complaining about Fred's empty-handed quotes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you can't just say words that mean nothing all season long as a coach. So, yeah, that is, that's a good point, that's a good start to at least, like, he said it's a drag,
yeah,
or whatever, and then he said it's 25 below this morning when everyone woke up, so I don't know if I was up quite that early when it was 25 below, but yeah, the Bulls aren't having a lot of fun right now, and it's got to tie back to playing better basketball, and to do that, they just got to get their act together, really, you know what I mean? Taj Gibson had a right hip contusion the other night on Friday night. He's great, good to go for Monday night, so that is some good news, I guess, for the Bulls in that regard, but this Nico thing is hanging over their heads a little bit here, and if he does get back in the rotation, I think, again, that shows that the Bulls, how much they want him to be a part of, a key part of this team, and how much he does mean to them, because I don't know that the Pistons are a great matchup for Nico, honestly, because he can get moved around by Morris and by Drummond. Obviously, he shouldn't be guarding Drummond down low. That's probably the center's job. But still, you end up down there facing each other. So, Nico's confidence right now, Fred said he's the
first one in the
prototypical
gym.
First one in the gym. Maybe last out of the gym. We don't know. We'll see. But
we should have asked that follow-up question.
We really should have, because, I mean, that would show a lot. But they need Nico to get back, and they need him to have the right mental approach. And I actually liked his mental approach to missing the meeting the other day, or the shoot-around and film session for the Bulls. And he just said, you know, shit happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you get by it, you go on. But I do wonder what they're trying to institute for Nico. If they do anything, it should be corner three-pointers, probably, right? Was that where he was really good below the break and in the corner last year?
Yeah,
when
he was
set on threes. Not quite as good as when he's chucking from 27 feet and pump faking, right?
Right, and I mean, that's just something that's kind of been the case with him for his whole career, but Doug even said today that, and as we've talked about before, the Bulls are last in three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, three-point percentage. They're last in the league by a considerable distance on all of those marks. So Doug was saying basically they all need to be more confident. He even called himself out, said he needs to stop passing up open shots, which is actually something I have noticed him doing in the last few games. But, I mean, that's what he's there for. He's there to make open threes.
Yeah, and Doug said that the bench continuity, they still haven't had enough continuity when he was asked about bench struggles, in part because he had that concussion and Michael Carter Williams has been out. But I mean, the bench has been an abject disaster. We've gone over that plenty. Michael Carter Williams is doing non-contact portions of practice, so he's pretty much doing everything out on the floor as he comes back from that bone chip in his left wrist, and he's played three games this year, I believe. Got
just
injured
three.
In that third one.
He told us the other night. He told us the other night before the game that he's hoping that Christmas will be around the time he gets to come back.
Yeah, so that would help the Bulls. I just don't know what they do on the bench. Like we got to figure out how they can change up this bench rotation a little bit or something here.
Well, but what options do they have? I mean, they've kind of tried everybody.
The option where you get outscored 45-18 can't be the best one.
No, it's not. But so which combination of players do you think they should try? Because, I mean, they really don't have any good solutions. They pretty much tried every player on this bench, and none of them have really been a consistent help.
That's true.
I mean, you go down the roster, it's not like there's some magic, you know, combination of players that they haven't played yet. They've pretty much tried all of it, and none of it's working, unless you think that Paul Zipser is going to be the savior. And we're big Paul Zipser fans here on Locked on Bulls, but, you know.
Are they ever going to play RJ Hunter?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it. Zipser did get sent to the D-League and maybe was going to play in the game last night, but then did not play. The Bulls wanted him fully rested for practice because they envisioned such a hard practice, which is saying something that they initially thought they would have Zipser play last night with the D-League guys and then recalled him back.
Yeah.
So who knows what they're doing in there in practice, but this is a team that they're going to have to perform on the floor. Like, we know that. And It's kind of... The East is still so bunched up. It's like everyone's a game and a half apart from like 3 through 10. 8 teams, basically. So the Bulls are still fine there. And like they're aware of that. But it's also the point of the season where... I mean, they're on the verge of the players-only meeting territory. You know what I mean? Like, they're being asked about it. Jimmy Butler says they do not need one whatsoever at all because it doesn't do any good to sit in a circle and hold hands, basically, is what he said, and pat each other on the back. But the Pistons just had one. The Portland Trailblazers, basically, are on the verge of having one. Like, this is prime players-only meeting territory at this time of the season.
It's true players-only meeting hours.
Do you think this team has enough mental fortitude to not let this rut take over them and put them in a position where, again, I've mentioned this before, I don't think they can win 7-8 games in a row at any point, not even just looking on the schedule, but just as a basketball team, when you don't make three-pointers very well, I just don't think you have the firepower to reel off a bunch of wins. So if they get to be 4 or 5 games under 500, it's going to be really difficult to climb to 4 or 5 games back over. Do you think this team has the mental fortitude to take this adversity and not let it spiral? Basically, right the ship now.
I know three guys on the team that do: Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Taj Gibson. I think those three guys have the mental fortitude. Everybody else, I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah, like how much can those three do?
That's the thing. Like, and even Doug said today when he was asked about how bad the bench has been that Jimmy and/or Wade are going to be out there most of the time. And it's like, you know, it's been a problem all year. Those two have been asked to do so much offensively that, you know, they've kind of got, you've seen it the last couple of weeks, they've gotten burned out.
Yeah, and I think the rotation part that we brought up, like, there's just not a lot of answers. And I think part of that is because, like, they also have Dwayne Wade slotted in, like, how they want him to be slotted in as far as minutes management and resting him on the second night of back-to-backs, sometimes on the first night, whichever one they want to do. So he's going at the start of the second quarter is when it seems to get away from the Bulls a lot. Like, that's his time and territory, you know what I mean? Because they like resting him in the middle of the quarters. So it's almost like it's a butterfly effect or like the trickle-down effect from what is best for Dwayne Wade, and then he's playing with others. But I don't know if maybe you try to stagger more minutes for Jimmy Butler with the bench. Is this doable, like playing Jimmy Butler more with the bench and less with the starters in general as an idea?
I mean, I think it would be ideal if they could do that, but like, I just don't know where you can find the combination of minutes and different guys you can put out there that's not going to be a disaster in some way, because they just don't have the depth.
Because they don't really... They basically never play without Wade and Butler. One of them's always out there. Because Jimmy rests at the start of that second quarter, usually. And Dwayne's back out there at that point, and they kind of just replicate it in the second half at the start of the fourth quarter. So that's an idea, but then you open up the wormhole of your starters have been the strength of this team, obviously. And on any team, usually the starters obviously are better, and that's what you hope is that they're a strength. But when you're the Bulls and your point differential is like 1.2 or something this year, it's kind of sliding back towards even. Early in the year, they were around like 5 or 6 because the starters were
just a couple weeks ago, they were top 10 in offense and defense.
Oh, efficiency, yeah.
Now they're kind of middle of the pack in both.
So that's sliding, and hey, this look. This is gonna be a tall time for Fred. Like, if he can dig them out of this, it's a testament to him being able to get through to them. And really, I mean, he's been given an awful bench, like you said.
Yes.
So if he can get through this, find a way for them to get through this, and just kind of right the ship a little bit.
Just keep, not necessarily turn them around and go on this huge run, but just keep them afloat enough that the season isn't already going off the rails, which it kind of looks like it is right now.
Yeah, and like again, I don't know how much we should overreact to those losses to the Bucks. I mean, we were there on Friday. We talked about this in the last podcast. Like, it was just jarring to see how depressing the United Center was, and the Bulls' spirit was just non-existent. At the same time, like, the Bucks are young and athletic. The Bulls, despite claims to the otherwise, are not exactly young and athletic. So, the Bucks are a difficult matchup for him. But that's a problem if you're a basketball boss. If you're a GM, Gar Forman, putting a team together. Like, you know you're probably going to lose to the Warriors. You know you're probably going to get beat by the Spurs unless it's TNT Thursday for the Bulls like right. It was earlier this
sure.
year. You know you're probably going to get beat by teams like the Cavs unless you're the Bulls and you always beat the Cavs in the regular season because that's just what you do. But you know the good teams usually are going to be really tough to beat. Like, you shouldn't have a hole on your team in which, or a weakness on your roster in which your team can't handle young up-and-coming teams that run the floor hard.
Yeah, and we saw that in not just the Bucks game, but the Timberwolves game too. Even, you know, despite that great first quarter that they have always been talking about since then. But, you know, you saw the Timberwolves just kind of outworked them after that.
Like, the Bulls are a team that's built to push around slightly smaller teams who don't play at a fast pace. Like, that's their zone right there for beating an opponent. You know, where Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson can beat the other team up on the inside and the opponent isn't going to run past them. But the problem is a lot of NBA teams don't just say they want to push the pace. They actually do and get out and run in transition. And the Bulls just don't have this wide array or ability to be malleable enough in their game to beat a lot of teams like that. So it's just difficult because it's like the Bulls only have one way to play basketball right now.
Right, and if any of their bench guys were consistent, you could say, okay, they do have the versatility. They have a lot of different looks. You know, they have Nico, who theoretically is a stretch four. They've got Doug, who theoretically can make some open shots. They've got, you know, Jaron Grant and Isaiah Cannon, who can give them different looks as the backup point guard. The problem is just none of these guys have been playing well.
Yeah, so, I mean, think of how many, all the games you remember the Bulls winning this year. Every time they've won, hasn't it always been Jimmy Butler was great, the Bulls dominated the rebounding battle, and they got to the free throw line? Like, almost all 13 wins feel that was the formula.
Yeah, and then it's getting to the point now also. Just, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when they lost to the Lakers that, you know, you're going to be doubling Jimmy, and then he wasn't as effective in that game. Like, at a certain point, they have this formula that other teams are starting to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking back to past years, too. Like, it always felt like there'd be the Aaron Brooks game.
Right.
They could win because Derek was spectacular. They could win because Jimmy was brilliant as recently as last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no, like, I mean, let's...
win because Pau Gasol was really good in the pick and pop.
He had that 50-point game against the Bucks.
Not 50, it was like 40-something.
No, he had a 50-point game.
He did not.
I'm not talking about last year, I'm talking about the one against the Bucks like 2 years ago.
When he was a Bull?
Yeah.
I bet that was 46. We'll put a podcast bet on it here or something. Yeah. We'll most likely.
No, I think you're right. It was 47, actually.
Might end up being Chipotle. No one else. Shout out to Chipotle if you want to advertise with us.
LockedOnBulls@gmail.com.
And anyone else that is interested as well in advertising with us can do that as well. Do you think the Bulls beat the Pistons?
No.
Let's hear a no?
No.
You got the no prediction.
I got the no prediction.
Pistons by what?
8.
By 8?
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm going to go Bulls by 4.
Look at you being optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls have 2 days rest. They're a lot better when Dwayne Wade's well rested. Robin Lopez somewhat negates the Andre Drummond pure dominance. Like, the Bulls at least have a fighting chance down there. Andre Drummond rebounds. What's your prediction?
Number of Andre Drummond rebounds? 15.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, like, 27 or something. I thought you might go crazy. I think earlier this year, we expected Drummond to just go crazy on him on the glass, and the Bulls were controlled him a little bit, at least, in that regard. So, I think the Bulls will actually get back on the winning ways. But this is a key stretch for them because, again, this is a month loaded with home games for the Bulls in December, and they haven't taken advantage yet. They came back from that West Coast trip 10-6. Now they're 13-13. And, again, just hasn't worked out for them. So it gets tougher in January and February. The Bulls will have that West Coast trip, that swing again, and more road games. And if you're, again, 3 or 4 games under 500, going to be difficult to edge back up. So I know it wasn't the most newsworthy loaded day from Bulls. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll have a podcast, what?
Tomorrow night after Monday the game.
Monday night after the Pistons game. That Sean said the Bulls will lose by 8, and I said they'll win by 4. You can follow Sean on Twitter, at Hyken. You can follow myself, at Cody Westerlin. Find us on Facebook, at Lockdown Bulls, as mentioned earlier. You can email us at LockdownBulls@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Lockdown Bulls. And most of all, subscribe to us.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. We were told to mention Podbean. You can find us on Podbean as well.
Yes.
And you know, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network for every NBA and NFL team. Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL. You can tell your friends to subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll be back with you tomorrow after the game. Take it easy, guys.